about Jesus. And I don't know, we've had over 8,000 people come through the program since we've had, it's a drug and alcohol, faith-based drug and alcohol thing, which I have my own history with drugs, and God delivered me 9 years ago in July. And I was out there for 16 years. I was a pharmacist by trade. So I worked at a hospital pharmacy. And so he had access to the injectable, so I got on the needle light real quick. And it's amazing that I even made it, you know. But I did, by God's grace. Hallelujah. And then he anointed me and called me to preach, especially to that sort, my sort, you know, us. Hallelujah. But it's the gospel that fits everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And where we at? Glory to God. I was going to start. Paul said this. See, I was a pharmacist by trade, and then I was a junkie for 16 years. So I ain't been to preaching school. So when God called me, and there was no doubt he called me to preach, you see, I read over what Paul said. So I started reading what Paul said, how he preached, or how John might have preached, or James or somebody. You know, that's pretty good examples. Hallelujah. Read what Jesus said. Paul said this over in the Corinthians. He said, I determined not to know anything among you. We're talking about a smart, smart man. We're talking about a smart man. He could amaze us with some stuff. Knew all about the Jewish history and the Old Testament. He said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ, the person, and him crucified, what he did. That your faith might not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Talk to me. So I thought, well, I can do that. I can spend time with the Lord and discover who he is. You know, it takes 1,000 lifetimes to touch the hem of his garment. He's 100% man and 100% God. The Bible says it's a great mystery. And here we are, a creation, trying to describe that creator. We got a tall mountain. It's a mystery. But I couldn't worship a God that I could understand anyway. Hallelujah. He's so much greater than we are. Jesus, the person, unveiled his beauty, his excellencies, his official titles, what he did, how he walked about, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He never had to recall a word, never had to retrace a step. He could confront somebody without hurting their feelings. He could be kind to somebody without being servile, like velvet and steel all wrapped up in one. Humanity and deity all wrapped up in one. Glory to God, glory to God. I get excited just thinking about it, just talking about it. Hallelujah. Paul said, I determined not to know anything except Jesus, that person, that wonderful person that left his world, came to our world, lived a life we should have lived, died a death we should have died. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's none better, nothing better to talk to your children about. I got some making up to do, 16 years. And God has, he delivered me just in time for my grandchildren. They don't know anything about Papa being on no dope. Got four of them, hallelujah. God's renewed my youth, I'm 65. We started playing wiffle ball right away after I got delivered. You know, if the drugs didn't kill me, the lifestyle should have. I was a mess. And then I just started spending time with the Lord Jesus. And he said, the Bible says he satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. We're playing two-hand touch football now. We went from wiffle ball and golf. Hey, yeah, yeah. I have to stretch real good before I get out there, but glory be to God. And if he'd done that for me, he'll do that for you.
Yes, sir.
Like the other day, and I enjoy my grandchildren. I just have a, I don't know, God has. Well, I saw where God blessed Abraham because the Bible says, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm fixing to do? Seeing he will teach his children, teach his family about me. So I saw that, and we know Abraham was blessed. The Bible says over in Galatians, we Gentiles, if we believe on the Lord Jesus, the blessings of Abraham will come upon. It don't say blessings of God because you may or may not know what that is. But when it says blessings of Abraham, all you got to do is study that man. He had a wife so beautiful at 80 years old that heathen king desired her for his harem. And he ain't looking spiritually. He's looking with his eyeballs. protected that man, blessed him with much silver, gold, and cattle, was a friend of God. God blessed that man like crazy. Had a baby when he was 100 years old. God renewed his youth. That the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through faith. So I saw that and I said, I'm going to fix it and give attention to my family. God, you put my family back in my life. I'm fixing to give them some attention. And people are amazed. They say I'm like the best grandpa in the world. The other day when that storm, you know, we had a Torcon night. Watch this, y'all. I want to show you something now. I live in a 1986 model mobile home. It's like a castle in the presence of God, wall to wall. Chisa had bought this washing machine and from Lowe's. Well, it had a leak, but in a trailer, the plumbing is such that it sprayed. It was spraying up for months. And I kept looking over when I got out of bed. I looked at her dresser. It kept like sinking, you know. Of course, you know. And what it was, it was rotting in that wood. It was spraying up under there, you know. And so, of course, I work at a mission. You got carpenters down there, plumbers down there. Oh, my gosh, y'all. We got 69 men in there right now. Had 92 before the COVID hit. These are men. And now we got a women's ministry. We got 30 women. God doing a work in their life. It's unreal. It's unreal getting saved. We baptize anywhere from 8 to 20 every single month. The lowest is 8 and most is 20. Got a guy that comes down there with his trailer and baptizes them. So they come over and they remodel it. They for brand new insurance paid for it. I'm just going to get them to do it and pay for it, you know. Turns out she had an insurance deal that would pay for something like that, see. And they put that brand new floor in there from one bedroom to another and painted it. It's like the Taj Mahal trailer. Glory to God. It's nice. I mean, hey, my wife, I was in the penitentiary, and she had to sell our house. I was a pharmacist. I made good money. And it was her house. She went to drafting school and drew house plans and such to even put me through pharmacy school. And that was her house. And then she had to sell it when I was in the penitentiary. So, anyway, the guys know that. So, they're always eager to try to help, you know, and everything like that. But, so my son's over there now, Torcon 9 in Mississippi. Jacob lives in a brick house, him and his wife and three kids, my grandkids. We live in that trailer. He comes over about 9 o'clock that morning. He leaves a brick house and comes to our trailer with a Torcon 9. Of course, we got a storm shelter. Chisai's mother built a storm shelter about as far from here, that glass from the front porch. We've been in it before when that last one come through. And we got out there and we played. I told him, Chisai had to go to work. My wife had to go to work. And so I had them kind of. Faith, Jacob's wife, she does photography, so she had to do some stuff on her computer. And I'd already told him, I said, I got a 2-year-old, 4-year-old, 7-year-old. The 11-year-old was in Corinth. I said, I'm going to give this one 30 minutes. I'm going to give this one 30 minutes. And then this one. And I'm just going to, you know, I saved up my energy. I actually go to the gym and get on the treadmill the day before they're coming over. That's what I do. That's just what I do. I'll get to this in just a minute. Hallelujah. 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 This is to encourage you to enjoy your family. We've had a wonderful time with this COVID thing, being home with them and everything, to take advantage of something like that. God's put family. God knows what he's doing. Like you said, this did take him by surprise. And there's nothing coming. The Bible says so. This was a test run to see how nations and militaries and economies would handle it. Hallelujah. This world is not ours. Jesus is fixing to split that sky soon. Hallelujah. Y'all believe in a rapture. I'm in a Baptist church, ain't I? Glory be to God. Yeah. Hallelujah. There's a rapture, and then there's the second coming 7 years later. And that's what we look for. It's our hope. It's the mother of hope. You don't look to die. You look for that rapture. If you die in the meantime, at least you didn't have to fret dying. Because when you're out there a drug addict like me, you're wondering, will it be this away or that away? And when God delivered me, it's just, I live every day like Jesus could come back today. So anyway, it's a time for you to enjoy your family. I encourage you, after being away from mine for 16 years and God delivered me, I got a message for you daddies and for your granddaddies. Enjoy your family. Learn to be a daddy and be a husband to your wife. and be a daddy and a granddaddy to your children. I tell them men down there that. I tell them men down there that. I've seen men come in there, so help me. They'll come in, over 8,000's come in there. Some of them, they won't really get it together so much as far as this and that, coming to the altar and praying and doing the assignments and, you know, but when they get out, they reconnect with their children, and I've seen the blessings of God on them like crazy. On the other hand, I've seen others come through. They went through the motions, come to the altar and fake it till you make it, that sort of thing, and get out and didn't connect. It's like they live under a dark curse. In fact, I preached some of them's funeral. That's like big time deal right there, your children. We've lost it in our society. We'll throw them over on a thing right here so we won't have to spend time with them and everything. Oh, I'm so sorry. I forgot I was in a Baptist church. Glory be to God. No, that'll preach. You bet it'll preach. You can't go by what society says or TV says or the government says about raising your kids. You got to get with God, and the Holy Spirit will give you ideas and nurture things and tell them about the Jesus. Read Bible stories. So we're doing this, and I'm getting wore out. And I says, Eli, he's 7. He's my only grandson. I said, let's go storm chasing, glory be to God. We knew we were safe. It was in Nettleton where the rehab is. There was some goings on down there, but I knew we was all right. But it was cloudy. So anyway, he gets all excited about that because we was talking about his. He said, Papa, what's that? I said, they're crazy, Eli. They go in. They'll chase them. He just got to laughing and giggling about it. I said, yeah, they'll chase them. They go after them. And everything. Take pictures of them and such. I said, but now what we're going to do, if we're going to go out there and see if we see anything, we'll report back to your daddy and everything, to warn people to get shelter. Oh, he thought that's the grandest thing. We're going storm chasing. Hallelujah. Well, then Olivia heard me tell him. She's 3. She wants to go. So I thought, okay, hallelujah. Well, then that little one, Rachel, she saw them 2 leaving, and she wanted. So I said, put them in the truck, Jake, and you got to put them in them seats and such, you see. I always had to put a picture up there. So anyway, we go. We're out riding around, you know, and I was just going to carry them up the road there. And directly, I'd seen a cloud over there, and it wasn't no tornado or nothing, but I could at least explain to them. And Olivia's scared of storms. And I told him, I said, let me tell you what Jesus did. Jesus was in a boat, and he was asleep. See, there's the humanity of Jesus, 100% God, but 100% man, asleep. He was asleep. The Son of God was asleep. I love that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, a storm came up on them fishermen. And they're used to storms. They're fishermen. But this must have been a storm. And they get scared, and they wake Jesus up. Jesus stands up in that boat, says, peace be still, and it calms down. Then he turns to his disciples and rebuked them, not for waking him up, for letting that storm disturb their peace. What a Savior. I ain't never met nobody like him. And to deliver me from 16 years of hell and be patient and wait on me for 16 years? When he delivered me, I said, I tell you what I'll do. I'll serve you for the rest of my life.
Yes, sir.
I'll tell people about you. And it's been a joy. It's been 9 years. It'll be 9 years. I just want to tell the world. He turned me loose in Tupelo. Gosh, y'all, I'd go every store, every place I'd go, I'd tell them about Jesus. Especially stores, because they got to stay there. They got to listen to you. They can't be rude. It was this guy at Walmart. He'd see me coming across the parking lot. You see him, he'd get busy. Glory to God. That's what I know, and that's what I still do. I just do it all the time. I just love telling people about Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 So anyway, we get out there, and we take pictures, and they're all excited, and come back home after about an hour. But God will show you how to enjoy your children. Get out of your world. You don't have to work 60 hours a week. Come on, man. Come on. Come on. Talk to me.
Come on. Talk now.
Ask God to make a way for you to get a 40-hour job so you can spend time with your kids. They'd rather have you at home than your money and the things that you buy. I know, because that's what I lived when I was a pharmacist.
Hallelujah.
They had a bunch of goings on before I ever got on drugs.
Yeah.
Caught up in the world and this and religion. And I did. Hallelujah. 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 Okay, let me show you something now. Glory to God. This is the Last Supper. The Lord's Supper. The Passover. This is the Passover because this was Jewish thing, Passover. Jesus is there with his disciples. This is when he breaks the bread and the wine, you see. While he's at that table, and Matthew brings this out, he says to them, one of you is going to betray me. One of you is going to betray me. The Bible says, go to that next slide. No, go back. No, go one more. Maybe I've got it wrote down. No, I didn't. Back up. I cut out a bunch because it was a lengthy slide. They went around the table and they said, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? They went around the table, every one of them disciples, till they got to Judas. Judas says, Rabbi, is it I? He gave himself away. He never recognized Jesus as Lord. He's Lord. Now you got to make him Lord of your life. Don't just get like them guys down there. They like, which I believe it's easy to get saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess him with your mouth. You get born again just like that. Some of them guys who are some foreign insurance down there. And you got to preach that. No. He's Lord. He's Lord. He Lord and always be Lord. But anyway, I thought that was kind of cute. Go to that next one. Now, when I went to Israel, a couple, 3 years ago. Gosh, we stayed like 12 days, 13 days. And you got to walk from here. You got to walk from here to that swamp down the road, you know, to see something. I mean, you got to, glory be to God. I was give out after 12 or 13 days. But one of the things I wanted to do when I was over there, the woman that was caught in adultery, they said all this goings on happened in the outer court of the temple area where it would have been cobblestone when this happened, you see. So I had to check it out, and sure enough, go to that next slide there. I done told y'all that right there. When we see Jesus from the scriptures and you hear about Jesus, miracles can happen in your life. He that works miracles among you, he that supplies the Spirit, and he that works miracles among you, does he do it by your works or by the hearing of faith? Does he do it by your church attendance or your hearing of faith? Does he do it by your Bible reading, Bible quote? We need that. You need to do that. Does he do it by your giving or by the hearing of faith? Something about it. When you hear about Jesus, especially somebody saved, it stirs those spiritual hormones. I can hear something. I've seen guys come into mission. They didn't have it all together. But you talk about Jesus and they get so, you can tell there was something going on down there. He excites us. He excites us. Glory to God. So anyway, go to that next one. Okay, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. I've been right there, took some pictures of the oldest. Go to that next one. I think that tree. Now, see that tree right there? That's my brother. He paid my way over, by the way. And he's an electrician. You know, he's made more money as an electrician all his life than I ever have as a pharmacist. Mama wanted us to go to school. All of us go to school. Well, I was in pharmacy school at Ole Miss, and Phil come down there. He was 2 years behind me. Well, he liked to deer hunt. And at that time, that was the deer area for Mississippi. He wouldn't go to school. He'd wake up, glory to God. But anyway, he became an electrician. That olive tree behind him, they told us, and there's another one on this side of the garden. That's the garden of Mount of Olives garden. 2,000-year-old tree. 2,000-year-old olive tree behind him there. So that means it could have been in that garden when Jesus was in there. In fact, he might have slept on it or something. That's the reason it says, glory to God, I don't know. The Bible's silent, be silent. I understand that, but I like to use my own conjectures and theories and suppositions sometimes. For some reason, it's 2,000 years old. All right, go to the next one. Now, from Mount of Olives, you could look back toward Jerusalem. Of course, they got that mosque thing there now, but that would be where the temple would have been. And one place that they say Jesus was crucified was right on the other side of it. In other words, if that thing wasn't in the way, you'd see the hill there where he was crucified. Because I got my compass, you know, they got a compass on your phone now. I was there on the Mount of Olives, and I done this right here. See that blue thing yonder? That's the some kind, behind that gold thing. See that blue? They say that's one of the places. There's two or three places that they suspect he could have been crucified. But anyway, all right, go to the next one. Now, early in the morning, Jesus came again to the temple. Say temple. It'd be this area where this happened. All the people came to him. He sat down and taught them. You always see Jesus teaching and then healing. Teaching, healing. It's in that order. The more we hear about Jesus, it's like it has an effect on our bodies, health-wise. Go to the next one. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, now the word set there in Greek is a violent type word. It's like they just throwed her down there. Go to the next one. They said to him, teacher. See what they call him? See what they can just to keep that in mind. Hallelujah. Teacher. That's all they, some people just see Jesus as a good teacher. He's the best teacher that's ever taught, but I need a savior first. Some people see him as a good man. I'm going to tell you, if that was just a good man that died on that cross, your faith can't be released to that. Your heart won't reach. But when you discover that's God hanging on that cross, hallelujah, 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 it's easy to get, I go for that, glory to God. But anyway, hallelujah. This woman was caught in the act of adultery, the very act. Go to the next one. Now Moses, oh, they love Moses. Moses represents the law. Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What saith thou? What do you say? I'm an old King James guy. Y'all, I apologize. Every scripture I've got memorized is in the old King James. Me and my son, when God delivered me from drugs, I didn't want to go back because I'd quit so many times before. So I started memorizing scriptures. My brain was that. I didn't think I'd ever get parts of it back. Doing 16 years of OxyContin, you know, I was a mess. But anyway, I started memorizing scripture, started reading the Bible. Me and my son was fishing one day, and I quoted a scripture, except I quoted like that much. He said, Daddy, just how many scriptures you've got memorized? I'd only been delivered a couple of years. I said, well, word for word, I could do it today if you give me 10 minutes to refresh. Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 6, half of chapter 7, Romans chapter 8, half of John 13, all of John 14, all of John 15, all of John 16, all of John 17. That was a booger. That's the Lord's Prayer, the real Lord's Prayer. Psalms 1, Psalms 2, Psalms 5, Psalms 8, Psalms 16, Psalms 19, Psalms 23, Psalms 20, half 25, half 34, half 37, all of 66, 90, boom, 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 boom. Colossians chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 10, Revelation chapter 1. I still do it. I just got that one the other day. I just got crazy about the Bible, memorizing. And the guys, see, we make them memorize some scriptures before they go to work. I give them 10. I say, now look here, that scripture you've got to memorize there, I've got that whole chapter memorized. So don't tell me you can't memorize that scripture. But they'll come up to me. They say, Brother Gary, got you some scriptures. Glory to God. Okay, let's hear them. Scriptures. That's extra. Moses in the law commanded that such should be stoned. What do you say? And that was over in Leviticus. It says if you catch a man and a woman, actually, they both should have been brought. What do you say? All right, watch this. Go to the next. This they said, testing him. See, they didn't care about the law. They didn't care about justice. They sure didn't care about the woman. This was all a test. If Jesus would have said, stone her, they would have said, well, where's this grace message you preach? If he'd have said, no, let her go, they'd have said, now you're breaking Moses' law. We'll just stone you today. All about a test, you see. Testing him that they might have something to which to accuse him. By the way, you might suffer some of this. Now, I want you to take it from me. I'll be 65 in July. Used to, something like this would happen. I'd be persecuted for being a Christian. It'd bother me. Now, glory be to God. I love it. I love it. I love it. Hallelujah. Please get to that spot. Don't carry your feelings on your shoulders. Lost people are supposed to be lost people. They're going to cuss. They're going to run you off at all. Hallelujah. Don't worry. Especially you young people. Like that was like good. You talking about Jesus, the Lamb of God. I was in that area. Where I wish I'd have got baptized in that Jordan River again. Hallelujah. But I was down there taking pictures, and I'm thinking that Jesus is baptized right here somewhere. And I was trying to find a place, you know. And John the Baptist was baptizing people. And he was baptizing for repentance. And directly he looked up and he saw Jesus. And he stopped. Because see, John was the last prophet. He had the gift to look inside a man or a woman and see all the darkness and the evil. He could see that. Remember he told them, you whited sepulchers or something like that, brood of vipers or something like that. But this time he saw Jesus and he didn't see none of that. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Paul, a man of knowledge, said Jesus knew no sin. Peter was a man of action. Peter said he did no sin. Of course, John was a man of the heart. John said in him was no sin. He said, and Jesus come down here, you know, to get baptized. He said, I need you to baptize me. And John said, no, I need you to baptize. Oh, he's so excellent. Okay, watch this, right? I got to close. They said this, tested him, that they might have something to which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote. Didn't say a word. Stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger. I told you that part of the area was stone, cobblestone. When do you remember something about a finger and stone? Go to that next one. I was there. I put my finger. See, you got different kind of stones. That was the one that was there when Jesus, that color of stone. The cobblestone, see the cobblestone, cobblestone, finger, stone, finger, stone. Jesus was saying to them, you presume to tell me about the law? I wrote the law. Watch this. Go to that next scripture. Look at it over there. In Exodus 31, he gave unto Moses when he made an end of communion with him upon Mount Sinai. Two. Two tables of stone written with the finger of God. Now watch this, it gets better. Go to the next one. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up, said to them, he that's without sin among you, cast the first stone. There wasn't but one person there that day without sin. It was Jesus. The only one that could have stoned her, wouldn't stone her. Those that would have stoned her, couldn't stone her. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let him throw. Now watch this. Now the next one. And again, how many sets of commandments were there? Moses broke the first set. Remember that? Coming down off that mountain. Talk to me. How excellent are the scriptures? How divinely excellent are the scriptures? Again, he stooped down. Wow. Stuff like that stirs my spiritual juices. Because I searched this thing out to make sure it was the Word of God I was holding in my hand. That thing's alive. It's alive. All you got to do is read it. The Bible says the entrance of thy word gives light. And then another psalm says, in his light we see light. When you read the Bible, light comes in. But in his light we see light. What does that mean? That means you can be reading the Bible on one subject and God will open your eyes up to something else over here. It's like if it was dark in this room and I've dropped my keys and I'm struggling trying to find my keys and somebody turns the light on. Not only do I see my keys. Lord, there's my pocket knife I lost. There's that good pen, hallelujah. There's that CD in his light. You need to get excited about the Bible.
Yes, sir.
Memorize scriptures. It's okay to do that. Amen. When you're walking, you're at work, you can quote them things and meditate on them. Again, he wrote on the ground. Got to hurry. Give me another. Then those who heard it being convicted, but I'm telling you what Jesus did. He released the full fury of that law on those men. You don't want to go back on the law again.
No.
The law condemns.
Yes.
The law is a ministry of death. But Paul says you've been delivered from the law.
Yes, sir.
You've been delivered from the law through what Jesus did. There's a law that says thou shalt not commit adultery. Sure is. But there ain't one to tell you how to love your wife. Would you rather check off these marks every day, 10 of them, or follow the Spirit of God?
Yes,
Spirit of God will show you how to love your wife. There's a commandment, thou shalt not steal. But there ain't one to show you how to be benevolent and give. There's one that says, thou shalt not lie. But there's not one to tell you to speak as the oracles of God, to help you speak as the... You're not on the law no more, children. Don't get down to bondage like I did. I suppose that attributed to me going off into drug addiction to start with. I didn't know that I've been delivered from religiosity and legalism. I believe in living a wholesome, holy, sanctified life for the Lord Jesus. Don't get me wrong. But when you do miss it, don't go get drunk like I did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, go to the next one. When Jesus raised himself up, he saw no one but the woman. He said to her, woman, Where are those? Watch this. The excellence of the scriptures. He says, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? Go to the next one. What's she calling him? Talk to me. No one, Lord. No one. We got God mixing it up with a sinner woman. And this is what he said. So if you missed it, if you're a Christian and you missed it, my gosh, don't beat yourself up. Raise yourself up. Dust yourself off. He don't condemn you. Hallelujah. 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 Let me tell you something. When I got my pharmacy license back. Give me just a minute. I got to tell you the story. This actually happened. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Give me a couple more scriptures. Let me get to this one right here. Go. All that stuff above there that we suffer is because of a root system. Depression, divorce, sickness, poverty, addiction. All that above ground is because there's something deeper going on. Fear, shame, guilt, stress. But the taproot, who knows what a taproot is? I know this farmer's in here. Give me that next slide. That booger right there. That's a killer. That's where I was at. That's a killer. That condemnation, the damnatory sentence. I'm down there in Columbus, Mississippi. I got my pharmacy license back. You got to do something to get them back. Especially after the way I done them. And it was just a miracle that I got them back. But of course, I don't practice pharmacy. I'd rather preach. Back then, I was dispensing medicine to help people get well. Now I'm dispensing the gospel to change your life. Glory to God, glory to God, glory. It don't pay as much, but the retirement's out of this world. So anyway, I go to this meeting in Columbus. There's about 150 pharmacists, nurses, and doctors, and dentists that messed up like I did. And you have to go through this thing for them to maintain your license. Once a year, it's a seminar, and they invite people in from all over the world. They invited this Dr. Drinkwater from UMass, Massachusetts, to come. He come on Saturday. They flew him in. And y'all, these people are so boring. It's an all-day deal. And I was studying the feast of the, I was studying the, you know, the Passover, the Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Trumpets, it's that time. So I got there early, and I got on the very back. So while he's up there, I'm studying all this. All you got to do is show up. You ain't got to learn nothing. He's boring. Like boring. Oh, my gosh, he's so smart. I'm just a pharmacist. This would be for those other ones, those up here. Oh, it was boring. Finally, I heard him say something. He says, you know, when drug addicts come into our facility, he is the guy in Northeast United States. He's the guy, the addictionologist that they go to. He had a rehab up there. He taught it. He said, when they come into our rehab, he said, if they come in with stress and shame and guilt, he says, you know, we can manage that with pharmacotherapy or psychotherapy or counseling. So help me, the man said this. He said, but when they come in with condemnation, we can't do nothing for them. I'm sitting back there after 16 years of banging OxyContin, listening to this doctor from UMass. You just said you don't know what to do. I know exactly what to do. Give me that next verse. I knew that scripture. He didn't. Now, I'm not taking anything away. That man was smart. He could talk about the frontal lobe and all this, that, and other. I'm going, glory to God. Glory to God. Well, I'm never going to practice pharmacy again. I got that right there. Okay, that was on Saturday. So help me God, this happened now. This happened for a reason. The next day, you got a Dr. Merle Norton coming from the University of Georgia Tech. He's the guy in the South. That Dr. Drinkwater is up yonder in Northeast. This is the guy in the South that everybody goes to. He's up there. He's boring, like boring. At least he's a little better. He talks Southern. Glory to God. Still boring. I'm just there to get home and glory to God. I'm going to preach the gospel the next day. I actually had to miss church because this is Sunday. That's one of the reasons I said, no, I can't do that. Just y'all go head on with it. I got them back. That was my testimony. I lost my license. I got them back. But I'm not going to jump through them hoops no more. I'd have to go. They gave me a lifetime contract. Hallelujah. But anyway, so Dr. Mark Morton's up there. He said, you know, when they come into our facility down there, Georgia Tech, says they come in with that stress or fear or guilt. Says, we can manage that. Said, well, when they come in with this especially religious condemnation. He says, we can't do nothing with them. I said, there ain't no way I'm hearing this. God set that thing up for me to hear that. Now watch this. Give me just a second. Oh, it's just now six. Hallelujah. I don't like to go. When these guys come and preach for me, I got 80 preachers that I rotate through. We have church every night, devotion every morning, classes during the day. And BJ is one of my go-to guys. All of them don't preach like he does. But I got 80 that I'm at, and they respect the time, you know, because they got to eat. And besides that, their time span is like 10 minutes. Glory to God. Some of them. But anyway, so, all right, watch this now. It sets you free. If you lost, you need to be thinking about getting saved, like right now. We ain't playing games no more. Times are running out. If that uncomfortable feeling you got going on you right now, that's the Holy Ghost showing you you're a sinner going to hell. And it's not your sins that sends you to hell. It's rejecting Jesus. The Bible says the Holy Ghost will convict of sin, one sin, rejecting the Son of God. If you're here today and you're lost, you need to come up here like right now. I'm going to break this down, but we'll stop everything if you come up here and get saved. You give your heart. How did I get saved, brother? You come up here, glory to God, like me and BJ did, and give your heart to God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that God sent him, his only begotten Son. He died in your place. He shed his blood to wash your sins away. Drugs can't wash it away. That conscience of mine kept screaming, guilty, guilty. Only way I knew to silence it was with drugs. In dark places, in loud places. But the blood of Jesus. One drop at 9 at 3 o'clock in the morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can have that. Peace with God. You sleep to that. If something happened, glory to God, you're going to heaven. Yeah, we believe in eternal security. Hallelujah. Yeah, I do. But I believe in being born again first. You give your heart to the Lord Jesus. God, I give you my life. I tell you what, for me, rest of my life, I'll just serve your interest. How about that? And you got a God that'll walk. You're going to have problems anyway. At least you got a God that'll walk you right through them, every single one of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everything I sought for in that dark world, I found with Jesus. Think about it. We're going to give an invitation in just a minute. Let me get this right here for the Christian, my brother, and my sister that may be under, because this is the message God gave me for your church for tonight. I said, God, I don't just go down there and say something. I've got to have something to say, or I won't go. Yes, sir. Not no more. You got better men than me that's got something to say. But if you're here and you're struggling with something, you're a Christian. You can do that. You can be a Christian and still struggle with drugs even, prescription drugs. And you just tore up about it. Let me share something with you. The Bible says the goodness of God leads you to repentance. It's when I saw that, God, you will forgive me and just act like nothing happened to you. How could you do that? 16 years, I abandoned my family. They know, yes way. And when he done that, it led me to I give you my life. If you're that good of God, I already knew about your wisdom. I knew about your power. I knew about that. But this grace thing, this mercy, this forgiveness to me, Gosh, the Bible says judgment is a strange act to God. The Bible says his throne is established on justice and righteousness, but mercy and truth go before him. Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah, you can be saved. Yeah, I don't care what kind of condition you're in tonight. He loves you. Oh, he loves you. If you gave him your life one day, you got born again, you're his. There is therefore now, back up one, now, there is therefore now. I looked that up in the Greek. That word is none in the Greek. It means the immediate present. It means right now, not one day when you get to heaven. Why would you need this promise then? You need it now. There is therefore now. That's the immediate present. Watch this. Watch me break this down. The next one. No is ou-day in Greek. Ou-day. Ou means no. Day means no. Uday, you put them both together, it's a strong negation. There is therefore right now for you that's born again, no. Uday, you got another? Ume is similar. This is Uday right here. Condemnation, that's katakrima. Next one. Damnatory sentence. There is right now, if you made Jesus the Lord of your life, but you're struggling with something, there's no condemnation connected with it. Maybe gentle Holy Ghost conviction. But you can be set free tonight. Yes, he still loves you. Yes, that's it. I preached everything I had. I could stand up and do an altar call. I feel like somebody probably needs to get saved. Glory to God. This is the night to do it. You thought you saved, but you've discovered tonight you wasn't. Come up here and get saved. Hallelujah. 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 I love y'all. Appreciate you inviting me to preach.